It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio on our last show of the holiday season here. Merry Christmas this coming Friday for all of you, and happy Hanukkah and happy holiday season to everyone. So every year for the past 20, I have done a holiday show, a Christmas show about things that we might like to find under the tree or be given in this holiday season. It's often tongue-in-cheek, although I also have some real items. But I'm going to start off with this show, which I've done, I guess, now every 4 years when we have a presidential election, and talking about what we really would like on our Christmas list. So let's start off with competency and appointments. We've had a presidential election. Lots of states have changed governors. State houses are changing. And we are going to see a flood in the conservation world of incompetent, ill-prepared, unqualified individuals appointed to leader positions who have little or no background for the jobs that they are being appointed. It has been an escalating disgrace. And it's reached the point where I think a lot of us who are involved in conservation every day and who love the outdoors really shouldn't take this anymore. And so rather than be given a Christmas sack of coals, let's be given Christmas presents of people who actually should have the jobs they're about to get. The litany of it doesn't matter on the party, but it's particularly been true in administrations that are less supportive of hunting and fishing. The litany of individuals who've been made directors of the Fish and Wildlife Service who never have hunted or never fished, never held hunting and fishing licenses, or who've been made head of the Department of Interior who had no qualifications, or who've been nominated to run the Environmental Protection Agency who have no qualifications to do that, is unbelievable. And then you run across the states, and state after state has appointed individuals who were politically connected, but who did not have the background for the job that they were undertaking. So in this time when we're about to have a complete transfer of power in many states and at the federal government level, it's super important that the individuals be qualified. A very good news for those of us who love the outdoors is that Tom Vilsack has been reappointed as the Secretary of Agriculture. He was the Secretary of Agriculture under the Obama administration. He did an outstanding job of advancing conservation and also moving agriculture forward in a conservation sustainable way. So I think those of us in the natural resource world actually were surprised. In fact, we were really surprised that Tom Vilsack has been appointed again to be Secretary of Agriculture. There was a lot of speculation that Congressman Colin Peterson from Minnesota would be the nominee, and he would have also been a terrific advocate for conservation, one of the architects of the Conservation Reserve Program, and a longstanding supporter of soil and water conservation. Tom Vilsack has a track record for success in the area of soil and water and land conservation. He will be an advocate for good stewardship of the land. Let's just hope he's not burdened with an over-regulatory mindset coming out of the White House, and let him do the things that he does best in bringing agriculture and conservation together. So on the positive side, we were given a Christmas present or a holiday present, if you will, of Tom Vilsack to become Secretary of the Interior. This is terrific news. We're not quite sure what's going to happen yet in the Department of Interior. The representative, Deb Hegland from New Mexico, is going to be nominated, it is believed, to be Secretary of the Interior. And Michael Regan is going to be nominated to be head of the Environmental Protection Agency. If, in fact, Deb Haaland from New Mexico is to become the Secretary of Interior, she would become the first Native American to occupy that position, a position which actually Interior has a a great deal of oversight over Native American affairs, Indian affairs, the Office of Indian Affairs, as it's called, and the stewardship, obviously, of our lands. At this point, we don't know enough to know if she has a background of any kind in fish and wildlife management, if she's ever hunted, if she's ever fished, is she an advocate for the advancement of hunting and fishing? We don't know yet, but it would be a true travesty if the Secretary of Interior was appointed who did not have a connection to hunting and fishing and the outdoor stewardship of our lands and was appointed for political reasons as opposed to qualifications. I don't know that. We're going to find out. I certainly hope that she is qualified for the job. The last thing we need at this point in time is another Secretary of Interior who does not possess the qualifications for the job. Michael Regan, who will be head of the Environmental Protection Agency, an agency which has the regulatory authority for all of our water, 401 permits with the Corps of Engineers, et cetera. He has a long background at EPA, and frankly, a lot of people are encouraged by his appointment. So we could say that at least someone who's being appointed to run the EPA has a background there and has experience in the field. As we move through the appointments of the Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service and the head of the Forest Service and the head of the Bureau of Land Management and other agencies, we're going to find out if these individuals are qualified or not. One of the things that has absolutely happened as a result now of a quarter century of unqualified individuals being appointed to run our fish and wildlife agencies, our Department of Interior, the Environmental Protection Agency, et cetera, is that a program actually has been created by the private sector called Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow, which is designed to train people who work in the public sector in how to do their jobs and the value of hunting and fishing and land management and outdoor stewardship and the economics that hunting and fishing bring to natural resource management. It seems absolutely incredible that the private sector would need to create a program so that government employees could receive career training for the jobs that they've been appointed to, but for which they have little or no qualifications. And it really drives home that the absurdity of not having standards that individuals have to meet if they're going to be appointed to run state agencies in fish and wildlife, if they're going to be appointed to run the Department of Interior, etc. Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow has now trained over 1,000 individuals who work for states and federal agencies who are managing our Departments of Natural Resources, and is providing them with the fundamental knowledge as to the heritage of hunting and fishing, land management, the economics of hunting and fishing, and what it means to the not only to the financial well-being of the states, but also the socioeconomic cultures of so many states. It's really unfathomable. And we have had directors of states appointed to the job who have never hunted, never fished, and they apparently have gone through Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow so they could get a basic understanding. We shouldn't have to do that. The private sector should not have to come up with programs to ensure that governmental employees are qualified. And if you're doubting me, the facts are clear. We have any number of state directors who are running departments of natural resources who have never hunted at all, never had a hunting license, and yet they're responsible for managing hunters. We've had people who ran the Department of, who are the Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, who had never hunted or fished, and they're responsible for managing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's really unbelievable. So as we move into this transition of a new administration, not only in Washington, but in many states, we can only hope that there's some lessons learned here. And it appears there are already those being nominated or being reputed to be nominated for some key positions in Washington. Those lessons have not been learned. We'll find out. But we should demand, we should absolutely demand, as people who hunt and fish and provide the financial resources so that we can manage our wildlife and fisheries and natural lands, we should demand that the individuals put in charge have the qualifications to do the job. You wouldn't hire an accountant who had never had an accounting class to do your tax returns or to advise you in business Why should we have people running state agencies who don't know the difference between a potted plant and a tree stump, who've never been outside, who've never had any background? It's an insult not only to the profession, it's an insult to all of us who pay so many of the bills by recreating in the outdoors and buying hunting license, fishing license, by registering our boats, the whole gamut. We really need to have, I think, a much stronger voice, and we need to set up minimum standards that have to be met for someone to be appointed to a position that's going to oversee outdoor recreation in America. So my Christmas list is actually kind of long, but it's full of hope. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about a little bit about hunter education, what we hope can happen there. In the meantime, thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And for those of you who thought maybe I was being a little harsh in my comments about the incompetency of over the past decades of people to run various departments at state and federal levels for fish and wildlife and for natural lands and our Forest Service and the whole thing, I'm not being harsh. I'm actually being totally honest. We've had a disaster across the country. And it used to be that directors of departments of natural resources were appointed to the job and they held it for a long time because they were professionals. Now the turnover is virtually every 4 years because they've become political appointees. And Illinois has been one of the poster childs for this. Brent Manning, who served for 12 years as the Department of Natural Resources director, was in fact qualified for the job and highly respected. Since then, we've had a litany of individuals who were appointed. They may be nice individuals, but they don't have the background. And they were appointed for political reasons. So if we expect our departments to be professionally run, we should expect professionals to run them. Moving on for just a moment, and we're going to have much more on this in the coming year, but I spoke last week about this R3 program that's being rolled out by the federal government and supported by states, the program being recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters. And I mentioned how I think it's completely headed in the wrong direction. And I think it's evidence that it's headed in the wrong direction by what we have seen, as I mentioned last week, with the number from COVID. As a result of COVID, we have seen dramatic increases across the board in individuals going boating, individuals hunting, individuals fishing. And the numbers for firearms are so astounding, it's incredible, but a lot of that is obviously not sporting related. We were seeing a 12 to 15% increase across the board, it looks like, for those activities when all the states in the lower 48 are taken into account. And we're seeing that because people, as I mentioned last week, have time to do things they haven't done in a while. The whole purpose of this R3 program, which the federal government's about to spend millions of dollars on, the states are about to spend money, and conservation organizations are jumping on, is to have more people go hunting in America. The problem is not that we need more people hunting. The problem is that we need places for people to hunt of quality, that people will want to go hunting. And as the COVID pandemic has shown us, it's not that people don't want to go hunting. It's that they don't have the time. They have other things in their way that they can't do it. But if we have a 15% increase in hunting just because of the COVID pandemic, and that is resulting in overcrowded areas across the country, people not being able to get into parking lots, people not being able to find quality opportunities, people not being able to draw tags in the West, in particular for big game hunting, then what is the purpose of having more hunters? If we don't have a place for them to go, we don't have a quality experience waiting for them, and we're ill-prepared to handle this. So before we go and spend millions of our dollars, again, these are going to be sportsmen's dollars spent, trying to recruit new hunters and to reactivate hunters, I think we should have a plan first of understanding how we're going to handle this. And then we also should have an understanding of really, is more hunters what we're after? Or is a quality experience what we're after? And if we provide a quality experience and we provide ample opportunity, that more hunters will naturally follow. I'm very much in that school of thought. It's about quality. I don't know a single person, and I have the pleasure of knowing an awful lot of individuals. I don't know a single person who thinks that there should be more duck hunters in the marsh next to them, or that there should be more turkey hunters in the woods, or that we need more deer hunters. I know lots of people who think we need more ducks and geese, particularly ducks, who think that our turkey populations are under siege because of predator communities. And in the western part of the United States, we're seeing rapid declines in big game populations as a result of the expansion of wolves and mountain lions. So we're actually seeing less opportunity, and yet the individuals who benefit financially, the states, from hunting license sales, think we should have more people hunting because that'll mean more money for them. This is really ill thought out, and I would hope that the conservation community, which is largely run by the private sector, before they jump on board with this, would say, let's just step back and figure out, first of all, why do we need more hunters? Can we accommodate them? What can we do to make the experience better? And maybe most importantly, what do we need to do so that society is accepting of hunting long term? We will never have enough hunters in America again where society decides hunting is not a good use of our natural resources, that hunting is not in trouble. Just look at California if you want an example. It's the poster child for limiting wildlife management through hunting. So on my Christmas or holiday list is right next to the dramatic need to appoint qualified individuals to positions of leadership in conservation at the federal and state level, is for, before we go and jump into R3 and say this is going to be something we all need to do and spend a lot of money on, let's do a little more research and figure out what we're trying to accomplish first and not just chase dollars down the road, which appears to be what this is all about. Next week, maybe we'll talk about some New Year's resolutions. I hope that you're on board with my sort of thought of what would be a good Christmas list to get. And I thank you so much for listening. And in this wonderful week, this holiday season in America, I hope you have a safe week with your family in the great outdoors. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.